All right, welcome to episode 49 of the Making Geeks podcast. We are the podcast for makers, dads, and geeks. And today with us, we have Mr. Josh Price.
Hey, everybody.
Mark O'Keefe.
Hello.
Wes Swain.
Hey, guys.
And I am Sean Joliker. How are you guys doing?
Awesome.
Doing great.
It's a Friday. It's weird to record on Friday.
Yeah, messing me up a little bit. Tomorrow's my last day off.
I think we get a little bit giggly on Fridays, especially as we're trying to start the podcast.
It was really fun.
Yes. Usually takes about two or three takes, either because I screw up or the guys are doing something to mess me up.
It's been kind of a game lately.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're turning it into a sport.
Yes, I've given you guys too much power.
Because early on, you used to get frustrated at yourself when you did it, and you would take a couple different tries. But now, it's see how silly we can be to try to trip you up.
I'm going to start blocking the screen as I say it.
Yeah.
Anything special going on this week?
We are getting ready to go. So we have a month left till I become a full-time traveling maker. So I'm trying to get all the little loose ends tied up, move my corporate 401k over to my private IRA, and figuring out health insurance. I mean, we have to do that again. We've done it before. But all those little, I guess, administrative stuff we're trying to take care of, finish little tiny projects around the RV, and it's becoming a lot more real. So the last month is home stretch.
So we're getting
pretty excited. I know, right? Which means it's going to be the longest month in all of mankind. How's no school going, Sean?
I'm still working.
I thought last week was your last week.
No, next week is my last week, so I have finals next week.
Oh.
Yeah. All the seniors finished, so that's maybe why that seemed that way. I still have my other classes right now. They'll finish up next week. And then I, start my summer and hopefully a bunch of projects to go along with it.
Summer of Sean!
Yep. Catch up on all the stuff that I didn't do during the year, like oil changes and yard work.
That sounds like a hoot.
Oh, yeah. I could hear the audience falling asleep.
That was me.
What have you been up to, Wes?
I got some electronics in the mail over Memorial Day weekend from Adafruit and Amazon. We got some Arduino stuff and some addressable LED strips, which are pretty fun. I haven't messed with those before. And it's parts for the collaboration I'm doing with Bobby Duke that's upcoming. So it's going to have some fun LED stuff going on. And if you see in the video, that's why my face keeps pulsating blue in, like, in the reflection of my glasses. You might notice blue, like, pulsating. But it's kind of fun programming different, like, patterns and stuff and trying to understand how all that works. It's pretty neat. What about you, Mark?
I was supposed to be buying some new patio furniture and designing a deck, but that's all currently on hold at the moment, so I don't know. There's really nothing else going on this weekend. Getting back to work after being out with my finger.
Is your layer all put together downstairs?
No. I've been working on that little, like, couple hours here, couple hours there. I got to move the X-Carve now, but I got to move some furniture out of the way because moving a 4-foot-wide thing through a hallway-esque labyrinth is a little difficult, so I got to get some stuff out of the way, and it's basically move this here so I can move that there so I can move this back and, back and forth, but it's coming. It looks like something now, which is nice.
When you move that X-Carve, make sure all of your rails, like, are at an extreme, either closest to you and the router is all the way in a corner nearest to you.
Oh, well,
you
no, pick I'm it moving up, it. I smashed it with the table.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
I picked mine up, and I thought it was kind of all the way down, and I smashed the crap out of my finger.
Yeah, I've done that already, too. I did that once. It slid on me, whacked my finger. I was like,
Same finger?
Yeah, it moves. No.
Your pepperoni finger?
Oh, man. Looks better now, at least. Now it just looks like a hole.
Dirty.
Yum. But, yeah. Slowly but surely, I'm getting there. I'm getting ideas, too. I just got an art book from a movie, and there's one thing in there that I'm looking at going, I could probably use the process Bobby Duke used to make this. And then there's another one I'm trying to decide if I should just design it and 3D print it or see if I can make a working version with metal and a pseudo working version. But I don't know. It's just trying to throw ideas on a list. So once I do start get going, I don't run out of stuff too quick.
Is the name of the movie a super secret?
Well, see, I don't think anyone's done these projects yet, so I don't want to throw that out there because I kind of have... I have trouble coming up with things that people haven't done already.
We'll bug you off here.
Yeah, I'll tell you guys afterwards, but it's probably one of my favorite movies. But, yeah, that's all I got going on right now.
Super cool.
So what are we talking about tonight?
Well, before the show, we were talking about the idea of talking or discussing the importance of criticism on a lot of if you're involved in any of the DIY movements or maker movements on any kind of social media, people tend to be pretty friendly and pretty supportive in terms of saying good job, I like what you did, but people are a little bit less likely to be really honest about something with your project. And I think that's simply just because people initially wanted to be supportive, but I also think that some people are somewhat worried about backlash of saying something unfavorable because it that happens from time to time too. So we're kind of just, looking at maybe having a little bit more need for some of that honesty. But for the purpose of, people getting better and hopefully improving your craft.
See, that's hard to gauge, too, because, you can give someone constructive criticism and then they don't know what constructive criticism is, the difference. So they might take it badly. Or, the other way, it's hard with the internet culture we have nowadays, You can be honest and they might take it wrong or some like I got to actually, I think I've gone over this before. It's still on one of my Thingiverse models. Some guy, I made a part for one of my 3D printers and this guy came in and basically was like, you're wrong. And I'm like, no, actually I'm not. And just argument for forever. And it turns out he's like, well, I do this for a living. And I was like, well, you never said that first of all. And you come off as a gigantic butthole. He's like, oh, really? I didn't know that either. So it's, I'm all for criticism, but you also have to realize that you have to be, you don't necessarily have to be nice, but you do have to be a little respectful to a stranger,
Be tactful.
Yeah, right? Exactly. You have to have tact.
And remember that certain inflection isn't transmitted easily over text, if you're doing it like in a paragraph, Like if you're just sarcastic by nature, that might not come across. If you're satirical, that's been a recent thing too. And a lot of things I've been reading, satire is hard to detect if it's out of context. If they don't know where you're coming from with it, it sounds like you're saying the opposite of what you really mean. So it can confuse people quickly.
Yeah, there was a comedian that said that we actually need a special font called Sarcastica. to communicate that.
I completely agree.
Well, I think a lot of people, especially with satire, you have to be familiar enough with the person and understand their opinions and their mannerisms and things. And with a lot of online content, because it's worldwide, you might not be familiar enough with that person. So if I were to respond to one of the three of you, one of your projects or some of the people that we know on a more personal basis, that snide kind of jab or
I think it sucks.
Yeah, that would be a lot more obvious than to a group you know, some closed groups on the internet that people belong to, 3D printing groups, woodworking groups, whatever, have thousands of members. And, you know, for someone that you might not know that well, can come across as being like really brash when they could think that you're on that intimate level where it's like, we're, you know, friendly ripping or whatever. But
I will say that there's three specific places where I've seen people be a little bit more critical / honest in some cases, and that's on YouTube sometimes, Imgur, and Reddit.
Well, Reddit's a wasteland.
it is, but, you know, I actually think it's a valuable experience to kind of temper yourself.
Dress yourself in steak and walk into the wolves' den.
Well, yeah. You know what, though? But I think it's a good practice in learning how to defend yourself and actually engaging in a constructive critique. I spent 40 minutes one night on Imgur with somebody commenting on the heart, the Infinity Heart project that I did. And I, after that experience, I actually felt kind of proud of myself of being able to stand my ground a little bit, but also having a little bit of give and take of, you know what, you're right, I will agree that this was not quite right. But then by agreeing to that, you actually gain a little bit more respect from the other person too, because you're engaging in a real conversation with hopefully the goal of saying, you know what, I can do better next time, or I recognize that this wasn't quite right.
And that your viewpoint has validity as well. You know, not just immediately disregarding it. Mm-hmm.
But there's also, like, if you're the criticizer, you have to realize the level that that person's at. You're going to criticize a professional different than you're going to criticize someone who's just picking up the tools. And a lot of people don't get that. They just see, oh, you're trying to do that? Well, you suck. This is the first thing I've ever done, man. Of course I suck. You know,
I don't think a lot of us, I actually identify those things initially, though, right?
I mean, some people do. And I think that it takes a certain personality of person to put your initial, like, creation or what have you, like, open to the public. And if you are, and if those people do identify it as their first, it's been my experience that they do try to seek actual feedback. Because some people will put something out there and be very, very nervous and just want to, like, healthily, like, contribute to whatever their particular group is doing. And if you bash that person's initial entry, like, you could ruin that person for that particular hobby or whatever it is. Take, like, exercise. I don't know. Like, I'm getting fatter and I need to stop getting fatter. And so I need to get back and I need to exercise more. And for a while, I was training to run a half marathon. And, like, my very first one, you get your little app on your phone or whatever. And it's like, this thing, I don't need to tell the world that I dry heaved for, like, a quarter mile and then ended up stopping and eating a popsicle that I brought with me just because I knew I was going to get hungry halfway. And I'm like, that's not glorious. It's like, but it's a starting point. And so in your mindset, like, you can either share that starting point so that you can have some record of where, when you end up in the place you want to be, you're like, look where I started, like, with the meat sweats when I walked 10 feet away from my front door. Or those people that are the people that we live with, the nerds, the welding nerds, the woodworking nerds, the whoever nerds, that are usually the trolls, air quotes. Like,
the people who want to watch the world burn?
Or that are just blatantly honest. And so if you get that person that is very nervous about starting and they receive that kind of blatant, harsh, unfiltered honesty, it could really turn them off from whatever they're doing. And I think some people think good and some people think, oh, that's sad. And I think there's two different camps. Like,
I don't remember where I heard it, but I know that at some point somebody commented on the whole maker movement in terms of everybody picking up and just making things, as opposed to being tempered by going through, like, the different levels, like, apprentice, journeyman, and whatever those, mm-hmm. you know, traditional trade levels were, that most people aren't going through those anymore. And that used to be kind of a way to kind of demonstrate your rank. And we don't really have any of those ranks anymore. So unless we, you know, openly kind of say, you know what, I've only been doing this for a year, or this is the first time I've ever done it, then we might be opening ourselves up for a critique that isn't entirely accurate for our our level of expertise.
I would go back to some of the big name YouTubers and makers and people that we know in that space, that it may not be the journey. It may not be the individual details. It's the end result. And so if I look at that master electrician who's going to badmouth my work, you know what? I check it out. I can turn the lights on and off. So you can badmouth me all you want to, but my thing works. So it my dovetails might not be as crisp and clean and whatever, but that bookcase is not going to fall apart. And so it's, are you trying to increase your abilities or your skill level, or you just want the end result? Because if you want the end result, all their arguments and their critiques are moot because it works. So like, badmouth it all you want to. I'm happy with it. It does the thing, as Bob Claggett says.
Sometimes that's all you need.
And I think that might be kind of the point of what you're talking about, Sean, is that a lot of people aren't savoring like the craft. They're in such a rush or in such a hurry to get that end result that they'll kind of get it by whatever sloppy means necessary. And that kind of what, I don't know, I went to engineering school. And so there wasn't this like, okay, guys, this is time to savor all of your angles and all your beautiful, like the history and lineage of engineers. It was like, well, what bothers you in life and how can you make it easier? Like, those were the real criteria to get started. Like, think of something in your life that just pisses you off, and how can you make a robot do it? Like, that was it. So, find woodworkers and electricians and plumbers that have spent their entire careers. I mean, exactly. That's what most people end up doing, and that's, I think, spurred the maker movement.
Yeah. No. This sucks. I'm going to change it.
Mm-hmm. And so with that, if you've identified that as your trigger point, like, this thing sucks and I want to change it, well, I better sign up for about 30 years of work before I can start this. I better get into the union so that I can begin this project. Like, that's not realistic. So
I wonder if YouTube and start. I wonder at some point if it actually drives professionals a little bit crazy that you have so many people now that are attempting all these different projects and almost seeking out kind of like a pat on the back when it's...
It does. I have a friend of mine who's a photographer, and he's in the group. He's a really good photographer, but he keeps saying, he's like, things are really hard because a couple people watch a couple YouTube videos and go buy some crappy camera, and now they're a photographer. And you're not. I mean, yeah, you can take pictures and you're on the road if you really want to devote yourself to it. But in reality, it takes a lot more than some nice Instagram filters and a decent camera to be a photographer. And
I would argue, apparently, it doesn't.
Well, I mean, for the world, like if you saw some of his stuff, like he'll take. Like, he'll set something up throughout the day and he'll take, 50 pictures of something and then bring it all in the Photoshop and in the Lightroom and combine all 50 different aspects of all 50 pictures. And the photograph he gets out of that is friggin' amazing, whereas other people are just taking a picture, throwing a filter on it, and you're done.
Is he a photographer or like a digital manipulator, though?
Well, he's like one person's...
relying more on the camera hardware, and the other person is relying more on the software.
Well, that's like just one of the things he does. Like, because there's any photographer, there is editing you have to do to the photos to make them better. But there's also going through wilderness, or like if you want to get a shot of an animal, sitting down for tens of hundreds of hours to get that one animal in the one spot doing the one thing that you wanted them to do.
So he's a really good photographer.
He's, yeah.
That doesn't make everybody else less of a, like, is the one person that holds the trophy. Everybody else is not.
That's not what I'm saying at all, but it is like.
That's his viewpoint of it, right?
Well, a lot of, like we all say, none of us will come out and say we're woodworkers, especially standing next to people like, the guys from the Dusty Life. They are legitimate woodworkers, or the Samurai Carpenter. He's a legitimate woodworker.
I will build a trestle table any day, Macaulay.
But not to say that when we do work with wood that we're not decent at what we do.
Yeah.
But there are like the term maker in my mind is the current day's jack of all trades. But then there's like the maker and then there's the professional. You know, and just because you're a professional doesn't mean you're not a maker in other things. You know, just
okay, like, well, that person
professional is your specialized, this is what you trained in, this is what you're good in. You know the ins and outs 100 different ways from Sunday. But you can still go do other stuff. It doesn't make it like the people who aren't professionals any less at it, but you also have to realize that I can't sell myself as, you know, a fine woodworker. I can tell people I can build some stuff and see if you like it, but I'm not going to sell myself as a woodworker, and that's what some people are doing.
We're getting back into the titles thing.
Yeah.
But okay, so let's say you are the finest of fine woodworkers. Are you going, talking about critiquing, right? Positive and negative, receiving and dishing out. So say that you do see that pine, ugly table that's all split that someone's trying to sell for $400 and people are buying it and you're ranting and you're so angry about this whole thing and like, well, it's not quality wood, it's not quality craftsmanship, and you're downgrading. You know, I would charge normally $1,500 where these schmugs are charging $400 and they're bringing the whole industry down. Are you going to rant about it? Are you going to call them out personally? Or are you going to try to give that person some tips? Like, here's some industry-wide data. This is usually how much we charge for X and Y and for time spent so that you can now try to raise that bar instead of just shouting negatives at some person.
I think that all depends on the personality. And I mean, you might have someone who's just sour and they're going to rant and rave, or you might have someone who's like a cool head and actually talk to that person.
You know,
this is America. I don't have to talk to anybody.
Any professional though, that has that mindset about this, the way it should be done, has to be careful because they're going to get passed up for being resistant to change.
Yes.
And that's what's happening to a lot of professionals. And I think that's where a lot of the animosity is coming from as well. Is that things are changing and things are moving at a quicker pace. As a result, quality is still probably going down. So their argument isn't entirely invalid, but instead of having the animosity, you know, they should probably, you know, be looking more at changing and look at what these other people are doing. Why are they getting so much more attention than I am? Maybe I shouldn't be spending 30 hours on a shot.
Yeah. Have the professional build that crappy pine thing, but make it in a quarter of the time and sell it for a little more, you know?
I don't know, but we've heard this from a couple different industries, and we've heard other people talk about it, even from like the TV industry, where this is the way things were, and now TV is being passed up, and everybody's, you know, a cord cutter, and YouTube's taken over. Quality may not be as good in some cases, but you know these changes are happening. I don't know if that gets us too far off of our original topic that we were talking about.
No, it's right on, because the barrier to entry is super low.
Yeah.
And although people can critique those people that just started as their cameras are shaky and their quality is poor and whatever, but those people are going to gain a following and they're going to get better and they're going to grow and they're going to improve, because it's how you learn. I mean, there are very few like prodigies and savants in this world that just can start and be magically gifted at what it is that they're doing. You should suck when you start something. You should screw it up. I think back to our original thing is you should have the support system around you to be able to tell you like, yeah, like that was a good first try. Like you could probably focus on looking at this or this thing particularly, like, stop me from, you know, enjoying it. I don't know whatever it was, but giving that positive feedback to somebody all the while knowing that this is their first attempt or second attempt, or like, oh, you're improving, but be honest. And because nobody is amazing at anything when they first start. And if you are, then there's no reason to keep going because you've already mastered it. Do something else.
Yeah. If you're going to, like, that's always been my belief. If you're going to criticize someone, help move them forward. Don't, because if you're just trolling them, then you're, don't be miserable. You know, if you're interacting with someone else and they're honestly enjoying it, but they suck at it, and you see that they suck at it, just be like, you know, try A, B, and C. You know, give them, be the teacher. Give them steps, try little things to increase their game. And on the other side of that, if you're being critiqued, take it, if you get that troll, take it with a grain of salt. You know, if it's just, you know, you suck, then ignore it. If it's you suck because A, B, and C, remove the you suck part and examine A, B, and C. Are you really doing those things wrong? And if you are, adjust it. And if someone comes and, well, I mean, recognize constructive criticism and always take that into consideration.
Actually, a recommendation I'd make for everybody out there that's, you know, either already making or is thinking about making would be to actually start the critique yourself. When you post a project or something, say, you know what, here's something that I had trouble with. Here's something that I didn't like the way it came out, because then you're starting the dialogue yourself. And then you're,
Don't do it while you're working, though.
Yeah, try to make sure you finish the project and don't let the self-doubt kick in. I cannot
tell you how many hours I've wasted trying to make something perfect only to have the product done and away somewhere in my house and go, wow, that thing I spent 4 extra hours on, I've never even noticed. So be self-criticism is definitely important, but be careful, because that is one slippery slope that you will waste time on.
I think that goes back to Sean, what you were talking about on Imgur's. I think you were having a, you know, 40-minute or whatever conversation. Is that if you are not proud enough of the product that you have and you're not able to support it when someone is questioning it, if you can't openly answer those and do so without getting really mad, like, should you really be sharing that to begin with? Are you really that proud of what it is if you can't stand behind it and be able to, like, unapologetically just answer the question, this is why I chose to do this?
And I'll share something really quickly. Some of you guys saw progress pictures of this on my social, but I was making a project for my students who next week will be the last week that I see them. And I made a video to go along with it. And I already showed the seniors that left already. I showed them the video. And then when the video was done, I took out the project and showed them. I was nervous as hell doing that because I was really putting myself out there. And I'm looking at all the flaws on it. I'm like, you know, they're going to laugh at it because, you know, it's not perfect. But no, there were seniors that teared up, and they, you know, a bunch of them wanted pictures with the thing that I made. And that was really kind of flattering because I didn't see it that way. So that's actually a really good way to temper yourself too, is actually put it out there for people to see, and not just on social, but like in person, and other than family and friends, and get feedback that way too, especially if it's a creative type project that might be a little bit closer to you.
Outside of your echo chamber.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Wes, you've had, I mean, I would say the volume of projects that you have is not that vast. So you have a lot of very detailed projects because it takes you a while to do them. And every time you post a video, it gets shared on a lot of social media sites, right?
Sometimes. It doesn't translate into much, but yeah.
Okay, well, regardless, it happens, right? So you are on the positive side. Like, you're getting all these accolades from a lot of different people. Have you gotten, like, I really hate the term trolls and all that it, like, the connotations that come along with it. Have you gotten any kind of criticism?
Oh, for anybody? Any projects? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like on BuzzFeed, that was just, there's a BuzzFeed post on Facebook for the Mario Kart nursery. And they had there's lots of people that had parenting advice on there. Woo. That was like way saltier than even Reddit. Like talking about, like, you know, how is your child ever going to go to sleep in a colorful, noisy environment? You know, not audibly noisy, but visually noisy.
That's just snarky. I'm like, though. Well, it's not even really
when you close your eyes.
Exactly. When it's dark, you can't see them. Yeah. And then, like, the rocket changing table, there were a lot of people that commented within the fatherly post about that. Like, you know, why are you wasting your time building this for your kids? You should be playing basketball with them. You know, just like other kinds of absurd comments, or like, why are you decorating your, why are you indoctrinating your child into video games? Shouldn't you read them a storybook instead? Or, you know, just like random, you know, off the wall kind of things.
That's where the bookcase came from.
Right. Exactly. Stay tuned. Full circle. Yeah. I don't know. Most of them were sort of, I think they
were any of them helpful.
Not very many of them. I think a lot of them that they'll spout like some negative criticism just to be noticed. You know, they would be easier to spot in a sea of comments. You see that one negative, unless it's Reddit and they downvote it, so you don't actually see it visually. But it's a way for them to get attention sometimes, unfortunately. Trying to think some other. Like for the Thwomp video, since I had so many mistakes in there, no one had any like ground to kind of give me other suggestions about things that I messed up on, because I already messed up on most of the obvious things.
You M&M'd it out.
I was just about to say that.
You showed mom spaghetti all over your shirt.
So that one, I think the comments for that one were better than some of the other ones. I think if you're doing something that involves children or any sort of parenting spin, there's going to be a subset of the community that's going to be up in arms against it, you know, whether they're right or not. You know, everyone has an opinion on how you should raise your own kids, whether it's valid or not. It's there. So I'm sure, you know, taking your kids out on the road kind of thing.
We
sure
have received plenty of a few constructive comments regarding that topic.
No.
But at the same time, it does make you think.
Yeah.
It should make you stop and have a little bit of self-reflection. And Mark, you're exactly right. Trying to weed through like the hyperbole of it all. You're the worst, whatever. This is the most terrible. This is all right. Calm down and just say what you really want to say without all the capital letters and exclamation points. Right. So get to the heart of what it is. And it takes a really mature person to kind of weed through that. And rather than reading some angry tirade and just deleting it, which I'm sure all of us have done, because just like you're saying, there are people that are just straight up unnecessary, hurtful buttholes, that there's nothing constructive. It's just vulgar and crude. I've wondered, because I haven't done a lot of projects, and projects that I have done on YouTube, I mean, haven't gotten a whole lot of views. And it's usually within our community where people sometimes are complete strangers. And so I think we've established, like, you are your own worst critic. And so when people do comments, some of the like really joyful or like super nice or hooray for you kind of things are, they mean less in a way, because I feel like they are just like a lip service attaboy. And sometimes you do want that kind of critique, or you do want that feedback from people that you respect. But I think like in a private message might be a little more appropriate, because I don't know, like if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all kind of rings true.
Well, I like the private messages too, because that is something that is meant directly for you as opposed to in front of another audience. That we get a different kind of attention, kind of like what Wes was saying, like on the BuzzFeed comments. So those private ones, I think, they, in a sense, they should be better. I don't know if that's always the case.
Well, we operate in a closed group, and it may just be like the size of your inner circle, but it's got 2,000 members that I like to make stuff group. And it's becoming this, you know, mindless kind of attaboy club. And someone had made the comment, and that's, we're kind of like piggybacking off of that conversation. And, Bill Avulsi made some interesting comments, and it was, you know, about private messages and stuff like that. Like, you're not making anybody better by blowing smoke up their butt. Like, you should really be out to kind of help people. And if there is something that you see should be improved on, it's a tight rope. It's, you know, be brave enough to be honest. But then you're surrounded by people that are like, hey, why are you bad-mouthing this person? And it's, so I don't know, it's a tight rope to walk, trying to be constructive, especially to a stranger. know, even though you are part of a community, you're still pretty strangers in a way.
I find the best way to do it, not that I'm an expert in anything, but like the way I've done it before is like if I see someone doing something in a certain way, I'd be like, is that the best way to do it? Because whenever I've done it, I've always thought that this was the proper way. Is that wrong? You know, if you kind of put yourself as like, okay, yes, you know more than me, but I have this question for you. You can kind of get an amicable conversation going without someone getting angry about it.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. Just, you know, start the dialogue for it. And instead of maybe just sitting back and waiting to see what people say.
Yeah. Or Wes, like you're saying that the emotions and things don't translate to written text, that come out immediately in your comment. If you do really want to help or criticize sounds like a bad word, but I mean, it's in essence what you're doing. If you want to give those type of comments, go, look, man, this is not, I'm not trolling. I'm asking a question, or I am very interested in this particular piece, or you could find this resource that may help you fix that thing that you might be struggling on. And so I was going like, that sucks. That's ugly. Or like, good for you. Like, those in my mind are the same thing. Like, they're not helpful.
Right.
One of the toughest experiences I had ever been through regarding something similar to this was when I was studying animation. And there was a huge traditional component to the art classes where we would do charcoal drawings, airbrush drawings, paintings, all this stuff. We'd put them on the wall for open critique from the professor. And there was one professor that was really, really kind of a hard-edged. And he would actually take the ones that weren't that good and throw them on the floor and step on them.
Wow.
Damn.
And I remember one time, and I was sitting in on another class that the guy was teaching. And he, the professor used to do all the video covers for all the Disney VHS films. So he had all the turnarounds and basically the rights to reproduce a lot of that stuff. So he would have his students try to do some of it too. And they were doing a project for Pocahontas. And a couple of the girls in the class could not get the skin tone of Pocahontas correct. You know, it looked like she was from, you know, Ethiopia or something. You know, just a really, you know, dark skin tone. And he made the girls burst out crying in class because of the way he criticized and made fun of, you know, the fact they weren't able to mix paint correctly. So, I mean, I've seen what really harsh criticism looks like and what it does to people. So, I do a little bit better with
That's not helpful.
No, it's not. But I actually, you know what? I actually think it's helpful in a small way just to temper yourself and to learn how to handle it, because it's not the correct way to hand out criticism.
I get that.
But you have to be able to work through it, because it could be a boss that you have at some point that is just does not know how to deal with people or in other situations. It's not the way it should be, but you know, we should be able to work through those circumstances.
That's true. I guess, yeah, it's a life lesson. Sure. You can't control the reactions of other people. You can only control how you react to things. That's an interesting take on that.
I mean, it doesn't help in the group that we've been talking about, but we know that in other facets of life that it may not be as, you know, as constructive.
Hmm. Well, right on. We got anything else to say about constructive criticism from both sides?
I could end it with basically, and in general, don't be a dick. That's really all it comes down to. Help move people forward.
That would mean you have to have empathy for people, and that's not. This is America. You don't have to have empathy for others.
Careful, otherwise we're going to revisit what we were talking about before we started recording. We'll get back there really quick.
We'll get back to the pile.
What do you guys think the damage is of having a group that just feeds you positive
yes men
comments all the time? Yeah, have we discussed that specifically?
I actually think, like, it's pretty detrimental.
Yeah,
for like think a creator,
it,
you know,
it completely warps your sense of reality, and God forbid you're ever removed from that situation, you're going to find out real quick that you don't have a single iota of what it takes to do what you want to do.
You know, actually, I don't worry about that for us, because I think at a certain age, you already have a more realistic perception of that. But I worry about the younger makers who are, say, younger than 20, because I know that we have a couple that are coming up. I worry about them having an unrealistic expectation or perception of what good is or what acceptable is. Not that they're putting out bad products, but I think that they're missing out on a bigger piece of the puzzle.
Have you heard the Pontiac Azteca analogy?
No.
Okay, so are you familiar with this car? Yeah.
Worst like car in American history?
Aztec, not the Aztec. Sorry, the Aztec.
Worst car. Put a tent in the back.
And that's really the analogy, is that someone came up with this idea, and it wasn't just a regular car designer. It was some, I don't know, CE, COO, C, whoever, came up with the idea of some car, someone higher up in the food chain than a normal, you know, line artist. And no one had the gumption to tell them that it was stupid looking. And they were like, oh, what if it can do this? What if you take it camping? And they're like, uh-huh. They're like, oh, what if we put a tent that pops out of the back? They're like, uh-huh. Or like, what if we make these doors that pop out this way? They're like, okay. And no one along the line was able to step up, because either not, it might have been that they were too afraid, or they might have just been surrounded by a bunch of yes men or whatever. You surround yourself with, you know, like-minded people, and then there's a term called groupthink. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. And everybody convinced themselves that this was a great idea and there was nothing better. And then it goes to market and everybody stops and goes, this is the stupidest car. Like, who in the world would want this piece of garbage? Like, it's completely ridiculous. And then they sit around and scratch their head that they made and wasted so much money building these cars that I'm sure 30 years from now will be so ironic that all the cool kids will want Pontiac Aztecs. But you have to
Walter White.
Yeah, right. Like, you have to surround yourself with people that may not think the same, because you're going to get a greater perspective on a project, on life, on parenting, on whatever. That don't be part of the Pontiac Aztec design crew. Like, get real feedback. So if something does suck, you don't spend all of your resources convincing yourself and the people around you convince you that, yeah, this thing is so great, I'm going to go sell this to a major, you know, manufacturer, or I'm going to start my own storefront where I can sell this thing. And you invest all this time and this energy into something that was really not that great idea to begin with. But you surround yourself with people that just constantly gave you that thumbs up. You're doing good.
That's how we got that.
Was that one of the first cars you can think of that had a tent as an option, like in a package?
It's the only car that's ever had a tent as the option.
No, like at current minivans and like SUVs, you can get that. Like Honda, if you go in there, you can get that as an option. I saw it when we were shopping for Catherine's Pilot.
Built into the car, or just they give you a tent with it?
as a optional accessory you could choose, like a, you know, like you have like the additional hubcaps or the extra.
See, that's different. That's a car company going, oh, well, if this is an off-road vehicle, we can give you a tent to go up, you know, mm-hmm. camping with, as opposed to, let's make it a transformer tent.
A four-cylinder car.
Right.
But, I mean, in this group, we're all aspiring professionals in some version of it or another. Either a lot of people want to quit their day jobs and do this full-time, or come up with some product that is super awesome that you can sell it and make your money back, or, you know, there's money involved. And so when you're around people that are constantly giving you those, you know, tongue-in-cheek accolades, it could be not only, you know, bad for your motivation or bad for your ego or whatever, but it could be bad for your wallet, because you're going to invest a lot of money in something that other people, real people, might not like or might not want, because people around you say it's great. Is it really? Yeah, Batman versus Superman. We're looking at you.
Martha.
Martha. Should have made it a two-part movie.
Whoever. Why'd you put Kryptonite in a spear? I don't get that. So dumb. It was in a bullet in a comic book. Why are you putting a spear? He'll put Kryptonite in a sandwich. And then he'll eat the sandwich.
I like the idea in... this has been done in a couple of things. Batman makes the suit that's powered by Kryptonite with like Kryptonite knuckles.
Could I just bring up the possibility that it was to go along with the Savior, Jesus, Superman kind of comparison?
Spear destiny.
Like he gets shoved with the spear.
You guys notice that they literally
maybe that's a little too artistic-y, but I don't know, poetic.
I try and stay away from the God references.
You can't avoid it in that movie. That's a major plot point.
I think it was it was created that way on purpose. The creator of Superman was two Jewish New Yorkers. Yeah. It's that, you know, Superman is their, well, I don't know if we're going to get into this. Their version of the Savior, so.
We went off the rails gentlemen.
I think people died in that derailment.
Superman died.
But he was faster than the train for a derailment.
He never saw it coming. Batman was distracting him.
That movie sucked.
It had such potential too. Like I don't mind. Like I like Henry Cavill as Superman. And I like.
Here we go.
I like how we just completely just. Yeah.
If you're gonna get wet, welcome to the spoiler cast of Batman versus Superman.
We're at the end of the episode, so we can go off the rails a little bit.
Okay, so do we have anything else to talk about constructive criticism?
Are you criticizing like our method of
I'm not.
Thought here about the podcast?
Criticize my podcast?
You better be using
the door before we blow the roof off another.
We're good on the criticism.
See, now we're trolling.
You Batman would say versus that. Superman.
But I think we have a lot of ways we could have made that better. So we'll do fan fiction. All right, so what are we all geeking out about before we completely dive into a 2-hour long Batman versus Superman tirade?
I'm really hopeful for Wonder Woman.
Me too.
Really hopeful. I hope they do I really hope they do a good job with this. And I really hope all this stuff is true. But Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 98%.
Wow.
That's amazing. So my fingers are crossed. Because maybe if this does really good, we might get a Black Widow movie or Captain Marvel a little sooner.
I'm all for it. Bring it on.
And I'm also excited because I heard Josh Whedon is going to be producing. What did I say?
Josh. You mean Joss?
Joss. Whatever. He's going to be producing the Batgirl movie.
Actually, Joss Whedon has taken over the Justice League movie.
And he's
too.
Taken over Justice League, yeah. So,
under some poor circumstances, but yeah, he has to step in.
Really,
it's messed
horrible.
Up. We'll link to a news story that kind of explains that situation.
So, but are we too far along in Justice League for him to make any significant changes?
I think editing can save a lot if he has any of that power.
It's just a weird. It's Joss is a weird name. Who do you know named Joss? One dude.
I know a guy. There's a guy down who I used to live down the street. His name was Jocelyn. And I was like, damn, your parents
just
are mean.
Unfortunate. Okay, two dudes.
This guy's face on a billboard. He's an insurance salesman.
If I didn't catch it on here, we would have had some angry hate fan mail.
Hopefully, that means people will be listening.
Right.
Or they would have got the topic and would have been, you know what? I'm going to say this with all due respect.
I'm not
but you are saying his
it.
Name wrong. Here's a link to his Wikipedia page.
Let's see, what am I geeking out about? I recently sort of, in the last year or so, realized I had a problem with my miter saw where the fence was out of alignment. This is sort of kind of off left field. So the miter saw fence was on the left side of the blade was at a different angle than on the right side, and neither one was square with the blade. So all kinds of wrong cuts and stuff, and I had to add some shims and all kinds of weird stuff to do to get even a possibly good cut with it. I shared it on the group, and people had different suggestions as to what to do. And I just happened to share it on the it's a Skill is the brand on their Facebook page, asking if they had replacement fences that I could purchase, aftermarket or whatever, to get it going again, because I don't want to have to invest another $150 or whatever it is on another saw, miter saw. And after a couple weeks of correspondence, they actually said that they will replace it. It's not under warranty. It's not, they have no obligation to do so. So it's one of those customer service awesome experiences. So,
what, the whole saw or the fence?
The whole saw.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
I love it when that happens.
Huh?
Are you going to get the same model or are you going to get a new one?
Probably a new
usually
one.
Those saws usually get upgraded pretty frequently.
Yeah, probably a new one. I mean, it's at least 6 or 7 years old.
Do you get to keep the old one?
They mention a possibility of having to ship it back in the box that the new one comes in, just so they can analyze and see it. They were interested to see if it's indicative of a problem. Although, you know, the saw is like 7 years old, so they didn't, maybe they want to, maybe there's a recall on some of them. I don't know. Maybe they wanted to investigate possible manufacturing, because it's a solid piece of aluminum that the saw is. It just, it's like a C shape around the back of the cutting blade. So maybe there's something that they can research and extract out of that.
I never saw a fence like that before on a chop saw, because on mine it's actually two separate pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to keep, I have to constantly, I have to square one side to the blade, lift the blade, and then square the other side and put them both down. I'm thinking about like putting some caulk or something underneath so it stays square longer, but.
Yeah. So I'm geeking out about that. Kind of interesting. So they might have gained at least one customer, you know, to be looking towards that brand more.
I always love it when you get experiences like that.
Yeah.
Sean, what are you geeking out about?
I have three things I'm going to mention. One is I have a YouTube video that will be coming out next week, and that's the one that I'm currently showing my students. I'll have a slightly different cut of it that will be posted on YouTube. I have a make article that just got published today, which I'm kind of shocked by because I didn't think they were going to publish it based on a recent email that I got. And it was nothing bad. It was more about them wanting me to check in with them first before I submit articles now, just to make sure it fits in their pipeline. It wasn't anything bad, but I was under the impression that what I wrote wasn't going to get published. And then it got published today, and I think it's gotten more attention than any other article that I've written, which is pretty cool. And Wes, I saw that you shared that out, so thank you. And the last thing,
I saw it. I haven't read it yet. I'm going to get it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's primarily focused on like the kids and taking the kids to Maker Faire. So, and the last thing I'm geeking out about is, have you guys seen the Lemony Snicket series on Netflix yet? I don't know if you guys.
I haven't watched it, but I know what it is. Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris.
Doogie's version.
Yeah, yep. I was curious about it because I love the movie with Jim Carrey. I think it's a near perfect film in terms of storytelling. It's so well balanced. And I was really apprehensive about it. But I just finished watching the entire season. I have to say I'm pretty impressed. It took me one or two episodes to kind of get into it. It is a lot darker. From what I read, it is actually accurate to the books, which the movie is not. And it's a little bit dark and twisted, which is really kind of interesting. So if you have a chance, check that out. It's definitely worth watching a few episodes. Different in terms of storytelling and kind of interesting that it's a kids series. It's really kind of dark. But yeah.
What age range would you say could watch it?
I tend to be a little bit conservative of what I expose my kids to, so I don't think I would let Mark, who's my oldest, watch until he's maybe 10.
I was thinking that same number.
Yeah, I think there's something about those themes.
It's pretty good. I think Netflix has a thing now that if you're in like a pitch meeting, and they were like, how dark can you make whatever it is that you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can you put My Little Pony in like a scary, kind of creepy light? Is there some emo ponies you can put in there who cut themselves?
Apocalypse Pony. Did you guys ever see that Robot Chicken bit?
Nope.
Oh my God. After this, go on YouTube and look up Apocalypse Pony.
I've been geeking out about, I've been trying to binge watch House of Cards. I fall asleep. I have to go back and rewatch them over and over and over again.
I love that show.
Yeah. Hate that show.
I like it. It's just not as, I mean, the earlier seasons were a lot more captivating.
Yeah.
It's not that it's bad. It's drawn out a little more.
It's really nitty gritty now.
Yeah. But also I'm kind of excited, I guess in a bad way, that like I've gotten too fat. And I want to be less fat. So with this new kind of, you know, juncture in life that we're in, I don't have to sit in a cubicle anymore. And so I have a very sedimentary day job where I sit for like 9 hours and don't do anything. So I got to do some stuff. So I got to get back into shape because I was in fairly decent shape. And now I'm in a different shape altogether.
It's all shapes.
More geometric shape. Yep. But I'm going to make a more concerned effort to get back into shape. So,
I got a tip for you afterwards.
Is it
the food? Just a food tip, not that.
Is it?
I wasn't even catching on to that until right now.
Good job. If it's portion control and exercise more, then that's a pretty good one I need to heed.
Drink no, because I have like with my job, there is no, you know, it's really hard to, you know, kind of pack a launcher. I'm driving around, so I have convenience stores, and that's always horrible. And I love eggs, so what I was doing is I was just grabbing like 6 hard-boiled eggs and just eating the egg whites for breakfast and lunch. But what I started doing is I got one of those mini muffin makers, muffin pans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm trying to get rid of. And I'll do different spice combinations, and I'll just make a ton of little egg white poppers.
Oh, Tiffany made some of those. Little mini frittatas?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I think I lost 5 pounds in a week, in 2 weeks doing that.
Well, if you're losing weight, you know, it makes you feel really, really good about yourself, is take your initial kind of shock weight, like at night, and then the next morning, like wake up, take a dump, don't eat any breakfast, and then you lose like 8 pounds. It's really motivating. not an 8 pound dump, like you just feel really good about yourself.
Just what you've done overnight.
Yeah, you do lose weight doing that. You breathe it out. Yeah, but
in my current job, I'm not allowed to have like a Fitbit or any of those like fitness tracker, like kind of digital watch things, because security reasons and their Bluetooth and blah blah blah. And
you get now too real cheap these days.
Well, yeah, I say I can't have any of that stuff. So I think I can have a record player, maybe. If it's approved through the security office, I can have an AM/FM radio that I can't get signal on. But now that we're going to be leaving that job, I can walk into the 21st century and try to have a bunch of technological devices help me lose weight. So it's I did a thing back when. It was called Spark People. It's this website. I guess I'll do a plug for Spark People. They have an app, too, and it just allows you to kind of track your like your food intake and your water and track exercise and stuff like that. And like, I ride my bike to work every day now because I don't have my Jeep anymore. We went and took it back to my dad's house in preparation for our big trip. So like, I have to get to and from work on my bike. So it's kind of forced exercise. But yeah, you can take pictures of labels on food and it'll tell you all the caloric information, all the jazz. I'm pretty sure, which is pretty standard nowadays, but with where I work, I'm stunted and I'm not allowed to have any of those fancy things. So I'm discovering these things now. So that's about it.
Well, we would love to hear from all of you. Please check out our contact page on the Making Geese website. You can post questions, suggestions for the show, or if you just want to say hi, go ahead and do that there. And on our homepage, you can go ahead and listen to all of our past episodes right there on makinggeeks.com.
You can find us on our social medias on Instagram at Making Geeks Podcast and Facebook at Twitter at Making Geeks.
And we also want to thank our patrons over at patreon.com/makinggeeks. You guys help us in more ways than you understand. And we also want to give a special shout out to our top patron. The actual very top one is Mr. Seth Williams again. Thank you so much for your support, man. We really appreciate it. And if you'd like to get your name shouted out at the end of one of our podcast episodes, go in there, check out our rewards, and see if you're willing to throw some money at the screen, see if it sticks. We'd appreciate it. Thanks.
And you can find our own individual bodies of work at Asylum Designs on Instagram, Thingiverse, and Twitter, at geeksmithing.com, at geekbuilders.net, and also makezine.com. You can go read it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Should be your new article. It's on makezine, right?
Correct.
You all looked at me like I was an idiot when I said that, and I'm like, holy crap, I'm pretty sure I was right. So like Make Magazine, but leave out the MAGA. So it's makezine.com. You can find Sean's latest article that we were talking about, so where he wrote about Maker Faire. And you can find my work and now my travel-y type stuff that's blending in with work. Please let me know if that's a good thing. I am asking for effective criticism on that, by the way. My body of work and my travel-y kind of stuff at thepiworkshop.com. Or check out YouTube. YouTube's better. So we'd like to thank everybody for hanging out with us. As always, it is a pleasure, gentlemen, every week getting to hang out with you guys. And we hope you all have an amazing week.
See ya.
Take care.
Collaborated with my wife twice. Now we have a family of four.